Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the BFD Fantasy Football Show. Thank you so much for joining us, and those listening live and those downloading later, wherever you may be. We genuinely appreciate the support and making us a part of your regular Tuesday nights. It is 10 p.m. Eastern time, and that means it is BFD time, my friends. I'm Joe Jefferson, your host for the evening and lead editor of BFDFantasyFootball.com, joined by my co-host, Dave Terpoli, affectionately known as Dave Terp around these parts. You know, last week we just did our kickoff show for the 2016 season. Of course, Dave Terp was unable to join us. He is off, it sounds like, traveling to exotic places. We'll get an update on where he's at tonight. Glad to have him back in our second episode of the season. We'll be able to get some of his takes and things that we were missing last week. So, again, great to have him back. Again, for those who are not aware or might be under a rock somewhere, the big news the preseason for us is BFD has joined Scout Fantasy. So please get on over to scoutfantasy.com and use promo code BFD16. Again, BFD16, BFD16, and join them for a month for $12, and you'll get 3 free months, so 4 months for the price of one. You also get $12 in free game credit over there. They are the home of the Fantasy Football World Championships, as well as lower stakes leagues, all the way down to $35 and free. Their mock draft championships also offering a $5,000, I believe, grand prize. So lots of awesome games to become a part of over there at scoutfantasy.com. Don't be alarmed, though. You'll still get most of the great content we've been providing for years here, and all of our content for 2016 will be exclusive through scoutfantasy.com. So that includes the coaching tree, the draft reviews, the sleeper, bust, breakout player of the year picks, all that and more coming on scoutfantasy.com this season. So again, get on over to scoutfantasy.com, join them for a month for $12, get those 3 free months and those $12 in game credits, get all the great content that we've been providing, gosh, for over 12 years now, Dave Terp. Hard to believe time flies when you're having fun, I suppose. But these are proven methods that winners have used over the years. Lou Tranquilli, our founder and fantasy football legend, founded the site based on the idea that you need to get advice from winners. And why would anybody take advice from somebody who only plays in their office leagues? Often baffled us, these sports writers, other guys, great writers, but have not won in a really highly competitive format like many of us have. So again, get on over to scoutfantasy.com and join us for 2016 by using that promo code BFD16, BFD16. I'm going to bring on the co-host, Dave Terp. Dave, how you doing?
I'm back. Great weekend down the shore. I'm ready to go. Ready to get the season started.
All right. Good for you, man. You got to get those summer trips in when you can. Great to have you back on board. Of course, we did our kickoff show last week. For those who were unable to listen to that, please download that. Lots of great content. We brought on Scout Fantasy's Scott Atkins, and him and I broke down a ton of information. Really exciting time, obviously, as we head into preseason week one. Camps, obviously, in full swing. Tons of news out there. Lots of drafting going on. So Dave Terp and I will be able to chat a little bit more about ADP tonight and where we're seeing some folks go, what we like, what we don't like, team construction, all the important stuff that's going to help you get ready for your fantasy football draft. So get ready for the next hour. Dave Terp and I will be taking you on a fantasy football journey here. So what? Let's take a look at some news, Dave. This, let's see, it's been a busy week so far around the NFL. Big scare in Detroit. Eric Ebron initially feared to be an Achilles tendon rupture, turns into an ankle sprain. So not sure how they got those confused, but really good news, I suppose, if you drafted early and you drafted Eric Ebron. In my mind, he's even with a high ankle sprain, probably questionable for week one, so but not something that's going to keep him out extended periods of the season. What do you make of Eric Ebron this year?
It was definitely scary news. I mean, he's definitely been having a good camp, and there's no Calvin Johnson anymore, so there's definitely going to be some balls to go around. I mean, they got a lot of receivers. Like we were talking before the show started, they pretty much look the same. I mean, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, they're kind of the same player. Ebron's been having a good camp, but he's definitely going to be questionable. He's nothing more than an upside guy right now because, I mean, those injuries could linger. But he's definitely a guy, I mean, he has talent, but he seems to always be having a good training camp and then can never put it together when the season starts. So the jury's still out on him.
Yeah, you know, I think I was seeing him going right around the end of where you would see starting tight ends go off the board, you know, kind of in that 12th tight end off the board kind of range. Let me see if I can pull up an ADP on him. I've got an ADP right now of 129.6, so about 130. It looks like about the 11th round. That sounds about right for Ebron right now. I'd probably even push him down just slightly based on this news, but still a guy who could really contribute to your fantasy football squad over the season if you match him with another strong candidate at tight end, which is really easy to do this year. Scott Atkins and I were talking about that last week. What do you make of the tight end class and its deepness this year, Dave?
It's definitely strong. I mean, it's, you know, not just top heavy like it usually is in certain years with the normal Gronks and Jimmy Grahams. I mean, Jimmy Graham's not even really an I mean, he's pretty much an afterthought right now. I mean, you got guys, you know, Delanie Walker coming off a good season, Kobe Fleener. I mean, you got guys like that who are in great spots to succeed. So that'll definitely work out for them. Then you have guys like Jimmy Graham, who's still a top-notch performer, but just really never put it together in Seattle yet and coming off that really, really bad injury. So, I mean, it's a really deep class. Guys like Ben Watson, even Jared Cook in Green Bay has some, like, deep, deep potential. Zach Ertz, you saw what Kansas City did with Travis Kelce, bringing over the Andy Reid, Doug Peterson combo mind. So, I mean, Ertz is definitely a guy to look at, especially with, you know, the receiving core in Philadelphia being very, very suspect.
Will you be waiting on your tight end for the most part, if, assuming you miss out or don't get great value on, you know, one of the top-tier tight ends?
I mean, it all depends on where you draft. I mean, what's not to like about Jordan Reed this year? I mean, he looked great last season. The only knock's ever been on him is staying healthy. I would draft Jordan Reed probably, you know, a little later than Gronk. But, I mean, Reed has number one upside without a doubt. I mean, guys like Tyler Eifert, I mean, he's a humongous question mark right now. Definitely a guy who was highly ranked coming into the season before the injury. I'd probably wait, but, I mean, if the value's there and the right guy's there over a certain spot, like I would take a Jordan Reed over, you know, one of the running backs who have so much questions, like an Eddie Lacy, something like that.
Fair enough. You know, Reed is an interesting one because his ceiling is so high, but, of course, his injury history and his floor is so low. So I generally don't like paying up for his type of value. I'm seeing him generally going in about the third round. And, boy, I mean, that's just pretty rich. I'm seeing it in an average ADP right now of about 39.7. Actually early fourth in this particular format I'm looking at here. So, you know, I could probably live with that, but I'm seeing him go more often than not in the third round.
Yeah, it all depends on the format. I mean, coming off the year he had and the offense is going to be very successful, you would think, if Kirk Cousins, you know, has another successful year. But the injury history will scare a lot of people from drafting him that high.
But, you know, I generally like Olsen's value a little bit more, you know, usually around later. What do you make of Olsen? Yeah, you like Olsen?
You definitely can get him a lot, you know, definitely later than Jordan Reed. He's probably a little bit of a safer pick. I mean, Cam Newton always finds a way to get Olsen the ball. And, you know, depending on the format again, you know, Olsen probably going to be the best value out of the three. Gronk's going to go probably be overdrafted. I mean, I would say probably – in certain formats, late first, early second, depending on where you're at. Jordan Reed will probably be right around the 36, 37 range. Olsen, you could probably get fourth round, maybe fifth round, depending on the format.
Olsen's a little more conservative play, like you said, much higher floor, but a bit of a lower ceiling than
correct.
Reed has. Reed does have that rare ceiling, like you said, that really only a Gronk probably possesses right now. Interesting in Carolina, too, of course, Kelvin Benjamin coming back this year. What do you make of Kelvin Benjamin? We didn't talk about him last week at all. So what do you think about Benjamin?
Definitely a guy that you got to watch, you know, especially in camp. I mean, they're probably going to, you know, not give him too many reps in preseason, but you got to see him out there. I mean, he had an impressive rookie season. One of the worst injuries, obviously, last year in the preseason, and a guy whose upside is immense with Cam Newton, especially Newton improving on last year, which he should do, obviously, with more weapons now, with Benjamin being healthy. I like him a lot this year. I like him probably a lot more than other people do. He definitely has, you know, double-digit touchdown upside. Touchdown leagues, he's extremely important. Definitely a guy I like. I don't know if he'll get the targets that you would want on a top-floor receiver. I mean, what's his ADP?
Boy, hang on just a second. Caught me off guard. I'll have to take a quick look here.
I would guess probably somewhere in the fourth, fifth round.
33.6, so third round, late third.
I don't know if I like him that much.
Mm-hmm. I agree. In that range right there, right after him in the ADP is Edelman and Moncrief and Macklin and Decker.
I'll take a guy like Moncrief there all day.
Mm-hmm. Moncrief stick out to you as it does Scott in that range?
Absolutely.
You think Moncrief could even push for to be the number one over a guy like T.Y.?
I mean, he definitely could. It all really just comes down to, I mean, Andrew Luck. I mean, coming off that injury, you never know. But that offense should be, you know, back on, you know, hitting on full cylinders this year. I like Moncrief a lot. And, you know, I know a lot of other guys like him. He's definitely going to be a popular guy. He's definitely going to be one of those guys who get, you know, skyrocket up the rankings as the summer, you know, gets closer to draft time. Most of our drafts are taking place. If you can get him now, you know, take him now, because he's not going to be this. He's not getting drafted where you see him now by the time the summer ends.
Yeah, most leagues I'm seeing Moncrief go in the fourth. I'm seeing this ADP. This is a pretty fresh ADP just from the last week at 36.1. So, you know, pretty much the first pick in the fourth round and probably creeping up. So I agree. He's definitely one of those risers. I like him a lot. I just don't like him quite as much as Scott and maybe even you do. But, I do like the guy and I think he's got an enormous ceiling. I just haven't seen the consistency from him. You know, T.Y. certainly is a guy I trust there, but, you know, he's a little undersized. I recognize that, you know, he doesn't quite have the ceiling that a number one, true number one in that type of offensive potential could really have. Let's take a look here. What other type of news here? Bronco camp, they finally did say today that Mark Sanchez will start Thursday. I think they initially reported Sanchez and Trevor Siemian as co-number ones in Denver. You know, I do expect Sanchez to start. You know, I kind of view it as his job to lose, but, you know, the coaching staff really does have faith in Siemian, and so it wouldn't totally shock me to have Siemian outplay him in the preseason, but that's basically what he would have to do. We'd have to see it. And then, of course, I think Paxton Lynch takes on this team later on down the stretch, assuming Sanchez is average. Any thoughts on Denver quarterback situations?
Who excites you? Is John Elway just being a little arrogant with this? Or I mean, Sanchez, Siemian, I mean, can they really hand the keys over to Paxton Lynch this early? Probably not. But, I mean, we suffered in Philadelphia with Sanchez, and I was always a Sanchez guy. But, I mean, he is not good for Demaryius Thomas, not good for Emmanuel Sanders. I don't know if any of them guys are right now because they're two guys who, as you know, are extremely talented being a Denver guy. I think they're going to develop a lot of running. I think it's going to be a lot of running the football, a lot of C.J. Anderson, a lot of the young guys. I just don't – neither of the guys excite me. I mean, if I had a pick, I would go with the veteran. I would lean toward Mark Sanchez, I guess. I mean, Siemian knows the offense, but, I mean, what has he ever done really in this league? The answer is nothing. It's definitely
I mean, he had the one run, I think, as a rookie with the Jets. We thought Sanchez had a really bright future, but, career sort of unraveled after the butt fumble and some other debacles there in New York, and, of course, floundered kind of out there in Philly when given the chance. But, I agree. These aren't really exciting names from a fantasy perspective. I doubt, any of these will be, fantasy starters in 2016. That being said, Denver played through some pretty poor quarterback play last year through the great one Peyton Manning at certain times. It almost seems blasphemous to say that, but that's the truth. And ultimately, Mark Sanchez is probably an upgrade from where we were at multiple points during the season last year. Because of we kind of came from that abyss, I don't think the coaching staff is afraid to roll with some options. And of course, Paxton Lynch is the light at the end of the tunnel. I think his athleticism and playmaking ability are really going to shine through, and I think he's going to be a little more pro-ready than people realize. I think the Denver Broncos are telling all of us that he's not going to be ready week one, but late in the season, I would be surprised if Lynch weren't in there. The only reason he wouldn't be in there means that Sanchez or Simeon is having tremendous success, which is difficult to envision. That being said, though, from a fantasy perspective, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, two of the best receivers in the game. Keep in mind, Demaryius Thomas, before his slight regression last year, in my mind, was right up there, if not the top receiver in the league. Last year, he had a lot of off-season issues. His mom got out of jail, and Obama gave her a pardon. Pretty crazy, life-changing kind of stuff. So, I wouldn't be surprised to see him bounce back. Keep in mind, he had some very strong seasons with Tim Tebow as his quarterback. Emmanuel Sanders is really interesting because he heads into a contract year. Lot to play for him. His ADP is sliding down. Saw him in the fifth, now heading into the sixth. I think both of them represent decent value. Don't reach for him too early, but, DT early third, Emmanuel Sanders fifth, I'm on board with, maybe sixth even for Sanders.
Yeah, I think Sanders is a little bit better value than Thomas is right now. I mean, the ceiling in that offense just isn't going to be there right away, you would think, at least. That defense is, we all know, the best in the league. The best we've seen probably in a long time. And, all them guys got paid. Hopefully they don't lose the lead with any suspension coming up. But, I mean, that defense will definitely carry them all early on, especially, with those quarterbacks.
Julian Edelman looks like he pulled out of practice today with a potential injury to that left foot, of course, that he's had a couple of surgeries on in the off season. So always concerning. Initial examination saying they're not believing it to be serious, so Edelman should be okay. But, I came into the season pretty high on Edelman, and just because of his ability to get it done on the field on a week-to-week basis. And, of course, he has some injury risk, but I was willing to kind of take that on. But this is a little bit of a flag for me, and so I do kind of want to push him down now. I probably consider him, early fourth. What do you got on Edelman?
I love Edelman. I mean, there's nothing not – I mean, when he's playing with Tom Brady, he's a PPR monster. I mean, there's really nothing to not like about him, but – just seems like the guy's always hurt, and especially the scare. I mean, I remember waking up this morning and seeing that. I was like, Jesus, who the heck's catching the ball now? I mean, no Brady for four games potentially, and that serious Edelman injury. I mean, I'm tired of hearing about Aaron Dobson when a good training camp he's having. I mean, the last 2-3 years, it's been about Aaron Dobson, and how's that really worked out for him? I mean, Edelman's definitely a guy that, I'll be targeting. Hopefully he doesn't play much in preseason, so he falls down a little bit. I think he's going to come at a great value.
Yesterday, of course, Josh Gordon, in the news in the preseason, making his comeback here this season after a four-game suspension, really kind of a divisive, I think, fantasy pick, and that some people are going to be taking him real early, and some people wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole at that ADP, which I'm seeing, in the sixth round about now. of course, Monday, Hugh Jackson saying that Gordon needs to lose a little weight. No game action since 2014 and unable to, practice with the team and stuff. So a reminder, I guess, that he's not quite totally ready. I mean, he still has a couple of months because he's missing those first, two or four games. You drafting Josh Gordon?
I won't be drafting Josh Gordon. It could bite me in the butt later in the season, but I mean that offense is definitely going to be one that's underrated. I love Corey Coleman. I mean, I know he's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue right now, and he's probably going to miss a preseason game, but he's another guy I hope don't play all preseason because I love his upside. I mean, and that offense is definitely going to be an offense that is on the rise. I mean, they if RG3 plays well. I mean, who knows? Duke Johnson, Crowell. I mean, I like Duke Johnson this year in that offense. The rookie out of Baylor, Corey Coleman, I mean, he's going to be an exciting player. I mean, he could be the next, big-time receiver in this league. He's definitely one of my favorites early on. And then Gary Barnage, I mean, you saw what he did last season. Pretty much came out of nowhere and shocked the fantasy world. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Cleveland's definitely a team to watch, but Josh Gordon, missing four games. I mean, coming out of shape, needs to lose a little weight. I mean, I know the coach is probably just trying to light a fire under his butt, tell him to stop acting like a jobber, but, I mean, I don't know. I'm just not on board the Josh Gordon train right this year. You got to show me something before I can get on that train.
Yeah, like I said, I see him going a lot in the sixth round. I've got an ADP here of 74.2 on him, so that's like, second pick in the seventh round. I agree. I generally won't be drafting Josh Gordon unless his ADP comes down a bit. Huge hit risk, huge reward. I do agree that Cleveland's offense could potentially be underrated. We'll have to see where RG's at, but sounds like RG's at a decent spot and is going to get a shot here. And him and Gordon, of course, a very talented combination potentially later down the season. And like you said, could cause both of us to regret not taking him. What's going on in Philly is what I want to talk about.
Breaking news of the day, Lane Johnson's 10-game suspension. I mean, he's denying it for PEDs. I mean, I thought Jake Glazer put something out there. It was peptide, which is a pretty talked-about substance these days, especially in the Olympics. I mean, he's saying it was, whatever he took was sanctioned and approved. But so far in the NFL, since they've been doing all these crazy PED suspensions, not one has been overturned that's been this long. I heard that today from Sal Palantonio, which is not good news for Lane Johnson and especially the Philadelphia Eagles because depth is a concern. That hurts everybody. I mean, the guys we talked about earlier, Zach Ertz, I mean, he's going to have to catch a ton of passes. I mean, the running back position is a big question mark right now. Ryan Matthews, I mean, banged up every day. Wendell Smallwood, the rookie who they've been hyping up a little bit. He has a quad issue. He'll be out the first preseason game. Jordan Matthews, another guy, 2 to 4 weeks, they said, with a bone bruise. So, I mean, their offense right now is in shambles. But definitely an offense to watch because you can get a lot of the guys later. And if somebody emerges, they're definitely, an offense that, especially the running backs. I mean, Kenyon Barner is a name to watch. But this injury to Lane Johnson is definitely – humongous for the team because Jason Peters on the other side is definitely getting up there in age and Sam Bradford is still Sam Bradford. So you just never know. Carson Wentz won't be on the field probably for a while, especially if Lane Johnson's not, manning the right side. So we shall see. But Philly is in humongous disarray right now.
Man, I'm just hoping against hope that something happens there. But like you said, never overturn a PED. This is a team in Philadelphia that I really think, heading into the season is going to provide a lot of fantasy sleepers. So hopefully the wheels aren't falling off here. Doug Peterson's offensive philosophy I like, sort of heading back towards the sort of Andy Reid way of doing things. And, sort of excited about that. Not too worried about Jordan Matthews, a few weeks. I don't really even need to see him in the preseason to feel decent about him. Maybe that'll push down his ADP. Maybe I can get him in the sixth round or something. you know, so I'm okay with that. The running back opportunity, I think it really is an opportunity for the other Matthews to step up, and I like Darren Sproles there as well. I think it really is unfortunate for a Smallwood to be missing time at this point. I think he's a guy that could really be established as the handcuff option there, but in my mind right now, I'd rather have Darren Sproles, knowing that he's probably not going to get all the carries if and when Matthews goes down, but knowing that he'll have value perhaps along the way, and certainly will get a bump in increased value if and when Matthews goes down. I like Darren Sproles there as my second Philadelphia running back.
It's definitely one
what
to watch.
About Darren Sproles?
Yeah, Darren Sproles is definitely a name I forgot. But yeah, they just gave him a year in extension, so I mean, he's definitely a guy that's going to be used a lot in the Andy Reid system. You know, Doug Peterson coming from that, they like to get their running backs the ball. Jamal Charles is very successful. You know, Jarkandrick West last year, even, you know, Spencer Ware. They all had success throughout the year. So the running back position is definitely one to watch, probably more than the other positions in Philadelphia, because you will get a fantasy starter there at a very, very good value, especially one to watch if you go receiver crazy early, like most of us will.
You know, of course, heading into preseason week one, all the NFL teams dropping their initial depth charts. You know, one surprise in Miami, Jay Ajayi listed as the starting running back, Foster with the second. You know, of course, this isn't cemented. Of course, Ajayi's missed a lot of time early, and Foster's had most of the reps with the ones. What do you make of the running back situation in Miami?
Arian Foster's probably going to get overdrafted. I mean, I really like him. I really like that position in Miami. I really think he could be extremely successful, but I think this is just more of a coach trying to motivate a young player who's been banged up throughout his time early in Miami. But, you know, Ajayi definitely has plenty of upside. Definitely has – he's definitely a guy to watch if he can get on the field. Arian Foster's getting up there. He's another guy that, man, what his career would be if he wasn't injured. I mean, he's had some great seasons, some great, you know, fantasy seasons. But every year it just seems like that's just that injury. It just wipes him out and wipes a lot of teams out that drafted him, because – they're always drafting his backup early, and usually his backup isn't even, I mean, doesn't even compare the Alfred Blues of last year. We all saw how that worked out, not very well. I mean, he has weeks, but wasn't very successful, you know, in Houston. But Adam Gase is going to run the football. We saw what he did last year with, you know, Forte, Langford. I mean, they definitely were successful in Chicago. I expect him to be, you know, very, very successful, and I would probably lean Ajayi at a better value over Arian Foster, who probably will get overdrafted early, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm seeing Foster ADP of 62.2. So what would that be? Very early sixth round. Yeah, I agree. That's just too high. I mean, the guy definitely still has game. We saw in his brief appearances last year, you know, he had a few stretch there of 20-plus fantasy games. I mean, the guy definitely can get it done. Serious, serious durability concerns, though. And you know, I just can't imagine that he could make it through an entire season putting up a ton of reps and tons of fantasy points. So either they can use him sparingly throughout, or they can ride him until the wheels fall off, which is possible, more likely, I think. But, you know, I generally agree. I would like Ajayi more at his value. You know, this last week, maybe before this news of him being number one on the depth chart, I saw him sliding down, let's see, 113. What is that, ninth round. So, yeah, I do. I agree. I like that Ajayi value a bit more. Let's see, other camp news, anything else you want to cover on camp news? Want to get over
to
some ADPs.
We always have all the camp hype monsters. I mean, you know, guys you hear about. I saw today that, you know, one of the beat writers in San Francisco is saying that Blaine Gabbert is in a big-time favorite to start over Kaepernick. I mean, I know he got a lot of reps in the offseason, but if Chip Kelly's going to run Blaine Gabbert out there to run that offense, it's going to be a complete and utter disaster. I mean, they have no talent in San Francisco outside of Carlos Hyde. Torrey Smith's, you know, a solid receiver, but I mean, I don't see how Chip Kelly doesn't figure out a way to get Kaepernick in there. I mean, who knows? But, you know, I don't see San Francisco winning more than two or three games. I mean, that team is talent-wise pathetic.
Yeah, and they seem to be in disarray as far as what direction they go, and that's why, you know, like you said, Gabbert starting wouldn't totally shock me just because of where they're at as an organization. So I agree. I think they're in for a rough ride. And you know, going back to Foster, I was thinking about this just a second as you were chatting there. Is, you know, normally I'm on board with guys who are dubbed sort of injury risks. I you know, we just talked about Ryan Matthews, who I'm on board with. You know, maybe Alshon Jeffrey's another good example of, you know, a guy who's sort of dubbed an injury risk who I like as good value coming into 2016. You know, Foster's just accumulated so many. He's just at that point in his career where I just can't, you know, see his durability being great. Whereas a guy like Alshon Jeffrey, you know, obviously had concerning, you know, sort of series of soft tissue kind of injuries last year in the lower body and his legs there and calf and hammy, of course, I think that ended his year. But, you know, in my mind, heading into a contract year, this is a guy who, in Alshon Jeffrey, should be ready to bounce back, you know, tweak his hammy early in training camp. I think just adds value. Do you think I'm wrong? Do you think Jeffrey's bigger injury risk than I realize?
I mean, he's a guy that I seem to never draft anywhere, ever, just because, I mean, you just never know what you're going to get from Jay Cutler. I mean, I think it's more Jay Cutler than it is Alshon Jeffrey's talent. I mean, there's just so many other receivers that, to me, are just so much either safer or their upside's higher that I'll always draft over Alshon Jeffrey. I'm not saying I don't like him. I would draft him at the right value, but if you're giving me other guys like, you know, Randall Cobb, players like that, I'll take them over Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, wow. You'll even take Cobb over Jeffrey, huh?
I would.
You know, Cobb just kind of scares me. Last year, he just didn't look quite like the same player. I wonder if he just, you know, wasn't quite all there. And, you know, there are a lot of advocates for Cobb are, of course, pointing at Jordy Nelson's injury last year and saying that was what was missing in Green Bay. And while I agree it was a major injury and a major cog they were missing, they should have been able to make more plays than they made. And you know, at a few points, Aaron Rodgers looked pretty darn human, which is rare, you know, over the last, you know, years. So, I don't know. He's a guy that I'm kind of struggling on right now. I'm about in the mid-third in a slow email draft, and I'm trying to decide, you know, Cobb is one of those guys that's available there. And just it's tough for me to pull the trigger just because I feel like there's a little bit of risk there. I mean, the upside is obviously enormous, but I mean, last year, you just didn't feel confident about putting him in the lineup at any point down the stretch, even though you probably paid a first or second rounder for him.
Yeah, especially when Jordy Nelson was banged up. I mean, Randall Cobb was the hot commodity, especially with Davante Adams, and they all disappointed. That whole team was bad offensively. I mean, they had their moments, but it was sporadic throughout the season. And you're right, Randall Cobb didn't look great last year, but with getting Jordy Nelson back, I think he's going to be just totally the forgotten guy. He's going to be like that guy that stares at you at the round. You're just like, I got to take somebody else. And I'm okay with a guy like that because Aaron Rodgers is still the best quarterback in the league, in my opinion. And I just see Randall Cobb definitely, especially if Jordy Nelson is healthy, like coming off that, you know, injury, which he seems to be. He should be ready to go by, you know, midsummer, ready for their week one. But I like Randall Cobb, and definitely he's a guy that, you give me Aaron Rodgers, I'll gamble every year with it.
Yeah, you feel pretty darn good about Green Bay's offense getting back on the pony here in 2016, huh?
Yes, I do. I don't know about the running back position. I don't know about Eddie Lacy yet, but definitely receivers.
For the passing game. Yeah, you know, obviously we've seen them perform at a very high level over the last couple of years, and, you know, I do expect them to bounce back, but I guess I'm just not quite as confident as you are. You know, even Jordy Nelson, you know, all faith in Jordy that, you know, he's going to be just fine after coming off his knee, it's a question mark in my mind, and, you know, if he's really the cog that makes that engine go, then, you know, you got to recognize there's some risk there. I mean, will you take Jordy Nelson, you know, near his ADP, probably what, mid-second or so?
I mean, I like Randall Cobb more than I like Jordy Nelson. But, I mean, it all depends on value. It really just depends on where he's fallen. I'm not a big believer in ADP. I mean, it really just comes down to if you like a player, I'm always big on if you got to reach for him. For instance, a player like Amari Cooper, if you're drafted in the late first round, obviously I wouldn't say take him there. But if you like him that much and you think he could be a top 5-7 receiver, you better take him on the turn because you ain't getting him in the third round. It all depends on where you fall in the draft. So, I mean, if you like a guy like Jordy Nelson, you might have to overdraft him because there's always going to be that one or two guy in the league who might just draft Jordy Nelson based on what they think rather than where his, you know, where he fits in, like, your roster requirements.
Agreed. You know, I mentioned that ADP a lot. You know, like I said, not necessarily to guide where I'm going to take them, but to guide where – well, no, I guess it does guide where I'm taking them, you know, guiding where I need to plan to take them. So, really, you know, if you love a guy like Jordy Nelson, you got to take him before the 21st pick. You know, if you got that 19 through 15 range, you know, you got to pull the trigger on a guy like Jordy Nelson if you like him. And so that just kind of helps you get that range of where do I need to step up to ensure that I've got a pretty good shot at getting these guys that I like. You know, you guys are, thank you everybody again for listening live. You are listening to the BFD Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, lead editor of BFDFantasyFootball.com, Joe Jefferson, joined by my co-host as usual, Dave Terp of BFDFantasyFootball.com. Of course, the big news of the preseason, we're joining ScoutFantasy.com for the 2016 season. All of our content that we provide in 2016 will be exclusive through ScoutFantasy.com. But don't worry, all of your favorites will be back. Coaching Tree is back. You know, rather than releasing it as one large article, we are doing it team by team. I think we're about six teams in. We'll be releasing about two teams a day moving forward to try to get you ready for your drafts and draft season here coming up in a couple weeks. We've got early draft reviews, taking a look at real money drafts early in the preseason. You know, these have really helped our players win to get an idea of where people are taking people, what types of roster construction strategies are out there. We take a look at some of those real money drafts early on in the preseason to give you an idea of what type of strategies you need to be looking into to 2016. Of course, we'll also name our breakout, bust, sleeper, stash and cash, player of the year, along with several other pros on Scout Fantasy's network. So not only do you get the BFD angle, you also get some other pros. You know, of course, at BFD, we've always had the mission statement that you should really be getting your advice from winners. And at Scout, they have that same mantra. So they have several other people on their site who have won both in daily formats as well as long-term formats. So not only will you get some of our stuff, you'll also be getting theirs. It's only $12 for the month, and you get three free months. So 4 months get you through about the regular season of the fantasy season. You know, normally a year of BFDFantasyFootball.com costs $29.99. So getting all the great BFD stuff as well as all this other stuff from the great pros, I see is great value for only $12. So again, get on over to Scout Fantasy. Fantasy.com and join now for $12 and use that promo code BFD16. Dave, let's take a look, you know, at some, like I said, this ADP is really sort of solidifying, so we can take a look at what some early round strategies might look like. This first and even the second round to some degree is starting to somewhat solidify. You know, of course, we've got the big three receivers coming off the board first in most drafts. Antonio Brown, far and away, the consensus number one pick. One and two do seem to kind of flip-flop based on what draft you're in. Right now I'm showing Odell Beckham Jr. at number two and Julio Jones at three. Obviously, no surprises there. You love them all?
There's pretty much top three, and, I mean, you can in any order. I mean, I go Brown, Beckham, Jones, but you could really flip-flop any of them outside of Antonio Brown, who to me is the clear-cut number one overall. after that is when it gets a little funky.
Yeah, I agree. I love all three of them. Right now, I'm Brown, Jones, Beckham, but I love the one, two, or three spots. If you could live with all three of them, maybe the three spots, the spot to draft this year. Of course, right after those big three receivers, those consensus, you've got your top two running backs and the next two receivers off the board. Right now, I've got the order in this ADP at Todd Gurley at 4, DeAndre Hopkins at 5, A.J. Green at 6, and David Johnson at 7. When you're in that middle sort of range of the draft after those big three, what are you looking to do?
I'm a big David Johnson guy. I've been a big David Johnson guy since last season. I mean, we talked him up a lot. Last season.
You know, he was my guy last year, man. Whew.
You were all over him, and you definitely had him in a lot of good spots. He definitely won you some money. I'm a big David Johnson guy. If I had the fourth overall pick, I would probably select him fourth. After the top three, it's going to be based on what you like. You pretty much can throw ADP out the door. I mean, you got guys who all look the same. I mean, Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins is probably going to be, I would guess, the majority leader in the four slot. Ezekiel Elliott's name is going to be, moved up, the rankings, especially if, Dallas comes into camp, comes into, the preseason healthy, which is always their biggest question because that offense could be, just as good as anybody else. I mean, you got guys in different formats. A.J. Green, who you talked about. I mean, definitely a guy who might fly a little under the radar with the big three, receiver-wise. Todd Gurley is a name who I like. I don't love. He's probably third of my top three in running backs behind David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he is the only guy in town, but they have no weapons right now. Tavon Austin is really all they got. I mean, I don't see much there. And the quarterback position, I mean, is Case Keenum going to be the starter? Is Jared Goff going to be the starter? I don't know. I would still be happy drafting Gurley if you got him, in the 8-9 spot, but there are just guys that I like more than him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting to see your love for David Johnson. Of course, David Johnson was my boy last year, got him in so many drafts late. It was a little bit of a struggle to hold on to him in every league. I remember even on the show several weeks talking about, oh, gosh, do I need to cut David Johnson now? And, trying to convince myself that I needed to. But held out on most leagues. I was well rewarded for it. That being said, heading into this season, I do think he has a little bit more risk than people want to admit, given the coaching staff's preference, I think, for veterans. Look at how long it took him to get on the field last year. There's a couple of guys behind him in Chris Johnson and Ellington who might be a little bit healthier. And, of course, while he was down that stretch run, I think there were some questions about their availability and health. Down the stretch. So while I do love David Johnson, think he's a clear first-round pick, probably wouldn't take him at the 4 pick in most formats. It kind of depends on what formats we're talking about. But most of the formats I play in, you can start at least three receivers with a flex, at least start 4. So that makes most formats wide receiver dominant. So I lean receiver, when getting those options, but could live with a stud running back in the first round and could still live with that. After those selections, about pick 8 through 12, it starts to get a little bit hairy as far as ADP and, different people really liking different folks. I think, very popular right there. You mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, Allen Robinson, Dez Bryant. I've seen Keenan Allen and Brandon Cooks come up there. Who are you looking to draft at the end of the first round?
A name I really wanted to talk about that is kind of right around that level is Lamar Miller. I mean, he's a guy that I just don't know if you could really leave your drafting this year, whether it's in Vegas or online, and say, 10, 11, 12, I drafted Lamar Miller and I'm excited about it. I think your friends probably would have you maybe put in a straitjacket. But the value is there, and Bill O'Brien, they love to run the football. It's just, do you really love Lamar Miller more than you like a guy Allen Robinson, You know, Dez, I mean, Dez is a guy who's not really being talked about. A lot of guys think he's going to have another suspect season. I mean, Adrian Peterson's another name we haven't talked about, you know, too much. Brandon Marshall, I mean, you're talking about a lot of guys who could be falling into that thing. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to get Brandon Marshall the ball? Is Brandon Marshall a first-round pick? I mean, we're talking about, you know, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks. I mean, Jamal Charles might sneak up into that late second, early first if he's 100% healthy. Really, there's tons of questions delayed in the first round. You pretty much got to draft on the field. If you love somebody, draft them because all these guys look the same.
Devonta Freeman. Man. I've seen so many different combinations, you know, at that end of the first round. And thank you so much for mentioning Lamar Miller. I've seen him really as a darling early on. I've seen him as high as, I think, the eighth pick in the first round and no later really than, you know, the early mid-second kind of thing. So Lamar Miller really heading up draft boards big time early on. And like you said, there's really a wide variance there as far as who's getting taken in the second. So I couldn't agree with you more. You know, get the guys that you want there. You know, again, depending on the format, you know, particularly if you're at the end of that round, you need to plan accordingly, knowing that you don't get to kind of manage the draft as much and have got to kind of manage your, you know, positions taken a little bit more so than somebody, I think, who's picking in the middle of the draft. So, you know, if you're playing in a lot of the high-stakes type formats, you probably need to load up at receiver. But, you know, a lot of other type of formats, I totally love Lamar Miller. Even in a high-stakes format, if Miller fell to me, you know, I could see Miller in a stud receiver making a ton of sense. I've seen some folks go double running back. I can't really get on board with that. You know, you gotta zag sometimes when other people zig, and I understand that. So, but if you do that, especially in the high stakes format, you really gotta go to work on the receivers and get lucky with some opportunity as far as who's available. Because again, you don't get to manage that draft nearly as much. You know, I'm trying to think of who else I've seen kind of up there. Mike Evans, I've seen up there. Alshon Jeffrey, I've seen up there. Jordy Nelson, I've seen up there. Mentioned Brandon Cooks. Amari Cooper, I've seen him go, you know, 2-2, 2-3, as high as that, and all the way as low as, you know, late 2, last pick in the second round, early first pick in the third round even, I think. So, you know, again, roster construction, really massively important, really from the get here as far as your first two or three picks about, you know, how you're going to, you know, fill those in. You know, generally from a roster construction standpoint, you know, I generally am willing to, you know, punt on the quarterback position. You know, this year also willing to punt on the tight end position, although I do like generally being strong there. You know, running back two position, also an opportunity to punt on. So from a roster construction standpoint, do you generally agree with that? Are those kind of the positions you'll be looking to punt on, or will you be taking kind of a different approach in 2016?
I mean, one of my biggest drafts, I am picking from the 10 slot, so I'm gonna kind of stuck in this area we're just talking about. I mean, you said it pretty much perfect. I don't know how you could start running back. I mean, I like the zigzag and I like all that stuff, but there's going to be plenty of running backs there in the, you know, fourth, the fifth, the sixth round. They all look the same. There's nobody who, I mean, obviously there's guys you're going to like more than other, but I mean, they all look the same. They're all going to be around the same player. There's going to be plenty of upside guys. I mean, how many sure thing running backs are there that you can actually say there are right now?
Not a handful. Yeah.
I mean, Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson, Ezekiel Elliott, outside of that, Lamar Miller.
Yeah, Lamar Miller and Le'Veon Bell, probably.
Does Doug Martin really excite you? Mark Ingram's another name. I mean, the top heavy receivers are guys you have to get early in the draft. If you got to reach for them, I mean, I'm never going to say not do that. You know, guys, you know, Jarvis Landry's of the world. Like you talked about Alshon Jeffrey. I don't know if you're picking late in the first round if you can go and not take a receiver. There's just too many really good ones. I mean, and you're figuring the only way that Antonio Brown, Beckham, and Julio Jones have a bad season is if they get injured or their quarterback gets injured. To me, they're the clear-cut surest things in the draft right now. Target monsters, great quarterbacks that love to throw them the ball, and you got to figure out a way to maybe not get the same amount but offset it a little bit, and I don't think that's going to be at the running back position that late in the draft. If it's me, I'm drafting at least one receiver. I don't see how you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say, you know, there is something to be said, I think, for, you know, getting a stud at each position sort of at that end of the range, end of the round. You know, looking at, you know, who I really kind of consider stud running backs, you know, there probably really only are about seven, you know, if you can, you know, the folks that we just named, plus maybe a Devonta Freeman and a Jamaal Charles. So, you know, they're, you know, only about half your league can have one of these studs. So, you know, I think there is something to be said for the scarcity of that position versus, you know, the wide receivers where, you know, you can probably go, 30 deep and feel pretty darn confident about those 30 before it starts to, you know, kind of taper off. You know, as far as super studs, you know, there's even, I think, more of those than there are at running back, you know, somewhere from, you know, 5 to 10, depending on who you like and who you don't. Let's take a look, a little bit later in the round. Where did we leave off here in about the second round? You know, Rob Gronkowski is another guy we haven't mentioned. You know, usually late first in most formats, some high-stakes formats, he'll slip into the second round. Is he a guy you'll be drafting?
I will not be. I mean, the tight end position we talked about earlier, it's very deep. I mean, I might think about reaching for a Jordan Reed if the value was there, but I'd rather, you know, wait because, I mean, there's plenty of guys who are in very good positions. Like we talked about, Zach Ertz, Kobe Fleener, guys like that, who could be very, very good values. And to me, there's no need to reach, especially if you're losing four games without Tom Brady. I mean, you don't know how important that's going to be for a guy like Gronk. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, what's his ceiling? Yeah, he could be okay, but he's never going to light the world on fire. You're not getting many 40, 45-point games that Gronk could give you with Tom Brady. So, to me, if it's like a guy like Gronk or a gamble on a Le'Veon Bell and his four-game suspension, I'll take Le'Veon Bell's gamble all day because that could lead to monstrous returns, you know, especially because...
Well, you make a Martellus Bennett being there. Do you like Martellus Bennett? You think he'll get utilized a lot or no?
I think he's another guy who's going to be a good value. I mean, he's definitely a guy that, especially when Tom Brady gets back, I mean, if you can get him later in the draft, I mean, he's definitely a guy that could be the Aaron Hernandez they've been looking for. I mean, we all know how successful that was, you know, when it was, you know, put together correctly until Aaron Hernandez went nuts. Definitely Martellus Bennett's a guy that could fly under the draft radars who, I mean, he's not going to be a superstar, but he could be very good and very sneaky in that offense.
You know, going back to those, you know, seven, what I call it, sort of stud running backs, am I crazy, but is Adrian Peterson the least sexy of all of them?
Adrian Peterson is not a guy that will be on any draft boards of mine this year. Not because he's not a great talent, but I don't like guys in PPR formats that do not catch the ball. And I don't care what anybody tries to tell me, he's not going to start catching the ball this year. You hear it every season how he's working on catching the ball and he's doing this and he's doing that. But, man, I just feel like last year I had Adrian Peterson in a lot of big spots and some of them, you know, 10 carries for 35 yards, and that's it. Just drive you nuts. Yeah, he has them monster games, but I'll pass on him over guys that we've talked about all day. He will not be – he's definitely somebody that I'm not even looking at this year.
Not even looking at. You'll take it that level. You know, it's interesting because, like you said, for years now we've been talking about Peterson sort of catching more passes. Norv Turner, been there a couple seasons now, and his success with running backs, and particularly running backs catching passes, has been well documented. So, you know, interesting that he really hasn't developed now. And McKinnon now sort of, I think, turning into, you know, that player who they might want to be getting into space a little bit more. And like you said, I think the idea that, you know, Peterson's going to turn into a PPR guy is probably out the window, but you know, he is what he is. He is very consistent player and can have very big games, but not a PPR monster. Like you said, just, you know, just not quite as sexy as some of those other stud running backs. Still might take him ahead of some of those guys, but you know, it's just not, like I said, the upside just isn't quite as good.
I need your opinion on one player. We're on the same team. Does Teddy Bridgewater have any upside this year in fantasy football?
I don't think so. I mean,
thank God.
You want a late backup quarterback? Is that what you want?
I don't even think he's draftable, in my opinion. I don't. People are hyping him up. They got all these weapons for him, but I mean, what's his ceiling? What's the best he can do?
They're still run first. I mean, you got to think, and
even if they're a throw first, I mean, they can add LeCroix, Treadwell. Charles Johnson's having a good camp. You know, Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph. I mean, they have weapons, but he's just not – I mean, he's an Alex Smith type of quarterback and not as good, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I know, you know,
agreed.
Scott loves himself some Teddy Bridgewater and Teddy that, but, man, I do not understand the slight. He will never be more than an average quarterback. He will never get them anywhere far in the playoffs. I mean – I'm a humongous Teddy Bridgewater hater, and I've always been.
You know, I'm probably not quite that big of a hater, but I agree for 2016.
In the fantasy football world.
You know, the jury's out in the future. I think this offense, this team, this franchise could really transition substantially, you know, after the AP era, and you know, could it be the Teddy Bridgewater era? Perhaps. You know, I think the jury's still out on that. I think he's made some strides. He's developed a bit, but I don't think he's a fantasy football threat unless Treadwell is just Randy Moss. You know what I mean? Which I doubt.
Even if he is Randy Moss, I don't see it. Another name that's pretty popular early on. Saints receiver rookie Michael Thomas. Are you on the Michael Thomas bandwagon early, or are you safer on the Willie Snead bandwagon? Because Michael Thomas.
Yeah, if I had to choose between the two, I'll take Snead. You know, Snead impressed me. A lot of people really want to write him off, it seems like, but the guy's a solid football, hard-nosed football player, and yeah, he's not going to be, you know, Randy Moss, but he's going to contribute. And, you know, that's the thing I see about New Orleans' offense is they like to spread it around a bit. You know, I mean, I think the real concentrated targets really, you know, used to be with Jimmy Graham. But even he didn't see, you know, insane amounts of targets. They want to move the ball around. And so I think Thomas is in store for a solid but unspectacular season is probably how I would say it. His upside is pretty big, but and I've heard really good things out of camp. You know, I mean, you know, I expect maybe 60 catches.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think he's going to get that much personally. I mean, he just seems like to me, especially what you just said, another camp hype monster. I mean, you always hear about these rookies who are having outstanding camps, but when the pads come on and the season starts, I mean, these cornerbacks are some of the best in football, and he's going to be going against a bunch of them in that division. I think, if anything, he's the fourth option on that team behind Cooks, Fleener, and Willie Snead. And you just don't know what you're going to get from Drew Brees. I mean, he is getting up there in age. He could be on the Peyton Manning fall off the cliff type of year, which would suck because they got a lot of weapons on that team.
No doubt. I think we covered the first couple of rounds here pretty, you know, a couple guys perhaps. We didn't cover T.Y. Hilton, Jarvis Landry, I think probably be some of my best options that we haven't chatted about yet. Love both of them. You like those guys?
Yeah. I mean, Jarvis Landry is definitely a guy that He's always been a favorite of ours, and I don't see anything changing this year. T.Y. Hilton with Andrew Luck back, definitely ceiling's high for him too. And especially, you know, they have a very, very explosive offensive team with the quarterback. So T.Y. Hilton's definitely a guy who'll probably be moving up the rankings as the summer goes on.
Mm-hmm. You know, hey, man, I think that's all the time we have. Time flies when you're having fun, and I hope everybody's enjoyed the BFD Fantasy Football Hour. Again, thank you, everybody, for listening and downloading later, wherever you may be. Don't forget to get on over to scoutfantasy.com and join us for the 2016 season. Get your BFD 2016 coaching tree. Get your draft reviews. Find out who our comeback, bust, and breakout player of the year is for 2016, along with the other Scout Fantasy Pros by getting over to scoutfantasy.com, signing up for a month for $12, and you'll get 3 free months with promo code BFD16. Again, BFD16. And you'll get $12 in game credit as well. Of course, they're the home of the Fantasy Football World Championships, and we're so proud to be with them. And we'll see you guys next week, Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern.